You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's always a joy to be on Asbury campus. I just love how God works in our lives, and for me as a student being here, just seeing God come with revival, fire, and power. I started my freshman year praying for God to come, and he came my junior year. So I encourage all of you who are interceding and praying, don't lose hope. God is here, and God will come in his own way, in his own power. God, we just give these moments to you today, that you will come and you'll speak to our hearts. You know where every student is, and you know what our needs are. So Jesus, we just come to you and ask the Holy Spirit to minister today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Deuteronomy 30, a few verses, 10. If you'll obey the Lord, your God's voice, to keep his commandments, his statutes, which are written in the scroll of the Torah, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, for this commandment which I give to you today is not too hard or too distant. The word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you might do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and evil. For I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord may bless you in the land where you are going to possess. But if you turn your heart away and you do not hear, but are drawn to worship other gods, let other things fill your life and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days. If I call heaven and earth to witness to you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse, therefore choose life, that you may live, you and your descendants, to love the Lord your God, to obey his voice, to cling to him, for he is your life. I love this verse. Love the Lord your God. Listen and obey his voice. Cling to him, because he's your life. Who is your life? What is your life? What are you living for? You have an opportunity to choose. The scripture says this, choose life or choose death. Working in the prison, one young man said, I tried everything, but nothing filled me until I knew Jesus. I'm going to give you a glimpse of one day in Medellin. One day, on an ordinary afternoon, I make my way through the labyrinth walls into the main part of the prison in Bella Vista. The walls, which were once white, were all marked up with smudge marks of black fingerprints where prisoners wiped their fingers while being processed into the system. I cleared the open space walkway and noticed a football soccer game to my left. Music rang out from the chapel above. I greeted the prisoners as I passed by. One prisoner detained me. Hesitantly, he asked me a question to get my attention. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, God loves you. What is your name? Ugo responded, grateful that I'd lingered to talk with him. His face reflected inner turmoil. Although I knew nothing about the prisoner, the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask him, how long have you been in the sicariato? That's the killing business. Death is a way of life in Colombia. It's an oxymoron, but killing has become a way of life to earn money for anything that you want. How long have you been in the sicariato? Since I was 13, Hugo said remorsefully, and I'm now 39. 13, 26 years in the killing business. Satan came to kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. Jesus is here, and he's wanting you to accept him into your life as your Lord and Savior. Even though we do not deserve it, Christ died to bring us to God. Would you like the priceless gift of eternal life and have Jesus in your life? Si, si, deseo. Yes, I desire to, Hugo replied. Together we prayed. Suddenly, the angels were singing. there's a new name written down in glory. Tears flowed down Ugo's face unashamedly as God's forgiveness washed away his crimson past. Gracias, gracias, I've been set free. There's no joy, greater joy, than presenting the Prince of Peace to a troubled heart. Daily I find God opening opportunities to introduce the love of my life. It does not matter what the circumstances may be. Jesus is everything to me. A fender bender results in the owner of the car finding Jesus. After a long and tiring trip, my suitcases are chosen to be searched. But the customs officials find Jesus as their savior. And the porter standing by says, I need that prayer too. Can I say it? And Mario, the baggage handler that came, he testified, I asked Jesus into my heart 7 years ago with Maria. He calls me Maria. And God freed me, an alcoholic. Praise Jesus. He who begins the work will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus is working and working powerfully, far beyond what we could imagine. I've seen God work in men's lives. I went one day during the lockdown, and I haven't been in the prison, but God's work continues. I mean, God works in any moment, in any time, when we're willing to respond to him. I wanted to get my hair cut in the morning. I swim a kilometer every day, and I wanted to do it after or before my swim, but the beautician wouldn't take me until the afternoon. I said, well, God, you're in control of my day. So I go in the afternoon, and I walk into the women's part of the salon, and all the men are in there. They're watching a game, a soccer game, Venezuela against Colombia. And the beautician's husband, Agapito, had just been out of prison a couple months. He walks in. All the men were in the women's side of the salon. He walks in. He said, Janine works in the prisons. Janine founded Prison Fellowship Antioquia. That's the largest state or department in Colombia. I noticed a young man sitting here to my side. And his eyes great big. He says, you work in the prisons? Tell me about it. Well, how'd you get started? Well, in Colombia, the death culture ruined. Killing is a way of life. And I said, well, one day I saw in the newspapers that the killings had stopped because Jesus Christ had been lifted up in the prisons. I wanted a copy of the newspaper. So the young man who was instrumental in God's hands and beginning the revival in the prison came and brought it to me and invited me to prison the next day. And I wasn't teaching school that day, so he picked me up, and en route to the prison, he says to me, Janine, would you speak to the men? I knew there was a move of God in the prison. Some of the hardest guys had come to Christ, but I said, well, who's my audience? He says, ah, son putos sicarios. Oh, Janine, they're all hired men, hired killers. All the men are in prison for murder. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power. And a sound mind. When God called me at 11 years of age to serve him, I knew I'd be willing to lay down my life for Christ. And when I did that, the fear of danger and like this, I knew the security of being in God's own hand. So I stood up in a classroom. We didn't have our chapel at that point, before about 30 young men. Most of them were in their early 20s or teens, late teens. I shared a message. When the message was finished, about 20 men stood at their feet saying, we want Jesus. We want Jesus to change our lives. We're tired of living the way we lived. One young man, his nickname was La Muerte. And when I said La Muerte to I'll call him Joshua. I didn't know his name at that point. But his eyes filled with tears. And I thought, well, I kept talking. I said, well, this young man was sent to another penitentiary. He got transferred out. And so when he wrote back to the brothers in Bella Vista, and he said, when I landed here, they stole everything I had. They left me only in my underwear. He said, but you know what? They could strip me naked, but nobody can take the joy that Jesus has given in my life. I've tried everything, but nothing meets the joy that Jesus gives in my life. Yes, this is what God does. I see God working. Another young man, he was one of the ones I read that he had an office for hiring out killers called the Sicariato. And this is the business of killing. And he said, my life was totally empty. In my heart, I only knew pleasure, but I never knew true happiness. And only God could give this to. And he said, I wanted to commit suicide, but when I got in prison, someone said, that's not the answer. Someone presented me Jesus, and I came into Jesus. Do you know what he wrote? He wrote me this letter, and he said, I rejoice. God has responded to the conflict in my life. God hasn't led me in the desert. He showed me that my peace was only robbed by my own sin and never the sin of another. You know, the Holy Spirit showed me. This is a guy that was a former hitman and had an office where he hired out killers. My sin was to doubt in respect to the goodness, the love of God. And secondly, my demanding did not correspond because really I'm a servant, not the Lord or master. I recognized my sin, my doubt, my demanding to have my own way. When I took the position as a servant, as a lamb before the shears, the Holy Spirit returned with peace and joy. I learned the Holy Spirit never rests upon lambs, only rests upon lambs, never on wolves. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here in prison, I'm in the midst of death threats, but I press on to the goal because on the exterior, circumstances do not need to interfere with my spiritual life. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, not hunger or sword, tribulation. No, in all these things, that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I rejoice because the trials bring forth fruit, patience, and the fruit of the Spirit. Dear sister, I've learned a very important truth. When more problems exist, the more I serve God and my problems are resolved quickly. I look to be a searcher for the greatest treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven, and I think treasure hunters are able to undergo great danger and difficulty, but they don't stop searching. If they who look for gold and silver, the pleasures of this world, corruptible things, endure this, how much more should I who seek the owner of the gold and silver? I know that to come to Calvary, I cannot come feet first, demanding myself. No, I must come humbly on bended knee before the Lord and obedient to his will because he gives me what I do not even deserve. Today I can only think, how can I be a better servant to God? I humble myself, and under his powerful hand, he'll do the rest. It's not about me. It's about Jesus who died for me. This is what God does. God transforms lives. Well, I was sharing with my new friend, and I saw that he was touched. So I said, why don't you come by when you get your haircut? Come by to my apartment, because he lived near where I did. Come by, and I'll give you a book, John Eldridge's Wild at Heart. So that talks about a man's heart. You'll like it. He came. It was late evening. He came to my apartment. I gave him the book. He was happy. I call him Joshua. And Joshua, you know, the Holy Spirit works. He's working today in your life. I don't know where you are, but just like Joshua, he had come to Christ 2 years, and he was studying in a Christian school. He was studying it with Youth with a Mission. In a training program. He said, God's working in my life. I don't know how to say this, but when you told me the name of that prisoner was La Muerte, he said, that really hit me. He said, that was my alias. Again, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I said, Joshua, were you in the killing business, the Sicariato? He said, yes. So tell me your story. He said, well, my mom was my dad's mistress. And when I was conceived, she tried to abort me 3 times. And my own father tried to strangle and kill me. I had so much pain in my heart. I felt so rejected. And I tried to fill that void. So I got involved in drugs and sex and the dark side of the world. And it took me into the men that I was working for were selling drugs as a 12-year-old and got into my teen years. I got more advanced in the killing business. said, but you know, one day I was so filled with pain and I want to be free. I want to be set free. How can I be set free? But I said, God, I hate you. He said, I was so angry at God because all I knew in my life was pain. God, I hate you. But he says, all I could hear was, Joshua, I love you. And everywhere I turned, I kept hearing that. God said, I love you. Doesn't matter what you've done. I love you. I died for you. He said, and finally, I surrendered. 17 years of age, he surrendered to Jesus' love. He said, but Janine, no one at this Christian school that I'm at knows my past. Nobody does. You know, that, he said, but it's been such a relief to be able to talk to somebody about it, to get my past that weighs upon my heart. I love Jesus and I want to serve Jesus, but my past really weighs me down. So I said to him, let me pray over you. So I prayed over him. I prayed that Jesus would, the scripture that Greg Hasselhoff read this morning about God in Psalm 139, God formed you in the womb. You are very special. You're chosen. And God has his hand on him. He wants to go to seminary. God has his hand on him. But you know, how can God do this? I mean, he made a choice. He chose life over death. He chose to obey and to get set free from what was happening. And I've seen this happen over and over again in the prisons, where people say to me, what's the secret of the move of God in the prison? I remember one young man came to me and said, Gene, you can't leave the prison. I said, if I don't get out of here by 12, I'm in here for another hour. But he was so desperate. So when I talked to him, I said, okay, I'll listen to you. And he said, Janine, I fell in fornication yesterday. And he said, put me under discipline. He was one of our leaders in the church. Put me under discipline. And I started crying. I mean, he was crying. He said, I have crucified the love of my life in my sexual sin. Put me under discipline. And I knew every Sunday, they have conjugal rights. Every Sunday, his mother, who was a prostitute, would bring him a woman and ridicule him because he wouldn't take advantage of the opportunity. And that particular Sunday brought somebody that he had already had a relationship with, and he said, I fell. But Janine, I can't. I want to be clean. I want God to do something to me. I don't want to live with sin. Look, I thought, why is he talking to me, a woman? But you know what? He'd rather lose his pride than the presence of Jesus in his life. He wanted to be transparent, and that's where there's power. There's no power without the cross. There's no purity without the cross. The cross comes into our life and it makes a definite mark on our lives if we really are willing to open up to the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is what happened to him. God restored him. And God brought him back to himself and as a leader. This is what God does. God works. A vital relationship with Jesus means a sensitivity to sin, a profound desire for holy living. Like the hymn I used to sing, they sing in church, I want a principle within of jealous godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. This young man that came to me and talked to me, he's, oh, may the least omission pain my well-instructed soul and drive me to the blood again, which makes the wounded whole. Weeping, he said, I've, you know, God, can God restore me? God restored him. And this is what God does. And then furthermore, what he did, when he went to his ward, his patio, he was the policeman. He was with all the tough guys, and he called the brothers together in that patio, and he confessed to them what had happened. He says, I'm not gonna be in leadership. I'm stepping down because I'm not clean. God's cleansed me, but I'm not in a position at this point. So the cross brings purity and power in our lives. And Oswald Chambers said, we're not called to live long on this planet, but we're called We're called to be holy at every and any cost. If obedience costs you your life, pay it. Nothing can make us holy or pure, only the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know, you could have sat through chapels for 4 years and never allowed God to come into your life and be a part of your life. And today, God wants to do that in your life. He wants to give you, he wants to bring his transforming power into your life. And it's just like Joshua. Joshua said, no one knows my past. Maybe no one here knows your past, but you are struggling. You have something in your life that does not let you get free because you've never confessed it. You've never come clean. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, well, the student body, the killing business is a reality in Colombia, and I've hugged I don't know how many killers in my life. But you know what? I think, well, this we don't have that. But then the Lord brought to my mind, maybe someone here has had an abortion and you've never been able to get healed or free from it. Or some of you, a young man here, who's maybe gotten a woman pregnant and forced her to get an abortion. I don't know. God knows. And he's here today. And he wants you to come. The scriptures in Ephesians 5 says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. The way to really come free and to be clean, to have power in your life, as the scripture I read earlier, choose life. Today you can choose life. And so I'm going to open the altar. This is what this altar is for, so you can come. Let's stand. And first of all, I want to invite any one of you here who have sat through many chapels, but you've never made a personal decision to receive Jesus Christ into your life. Jesus is life. And today you say, I want to choose life today. And if you've never received Christ, say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need you. I ask you to forgive me my sins and to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And I pray, Jesus, that you'll be my Lord and you'll guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and guide me in Jesus' name. And I pray today for any one of you who want to come to the altar to pray. If God has spoken to you in any way, I don't know, but I open the altar. You just come. As the musicians sing, you just come. Come to Jesus. Jesus says, choose life. If you want to choose life, come to the altar.
So we're going to sing this chorus of this old hymn called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus a couple times. So would you all sing with me?
The inmates, the ones who have come to Christ, fear sin more than they do death. Because sin destroys us spiritually, and not just physical death, but spiritual death. So come, just let Jesus Don't let fear or pride hold you back from what God wants to do in your heart today. So just come. God, and God has his perfect plan for you if you're willing to open your life to him. So Jesus, I just thank you for each student here. You know those who are struggling. You know those who have pain in their lives. You know, Lord Jesus, those who need to be set free. So we thank you, Jesus, that you, if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. So Jesus, I just thank you tonight, today, because you are here in our midst. And you have spoken into our hearts today. So Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name.